talk to you about someone I've known for a very long time, most of my life, I would say, and someone who I couldn't do without, someone who I wouldn't quite know what to do if they weren't there, and someone who has been my constant companion, friend, encouragement, guide, and I'm not talking about Tanya. She was looking there. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, because I had a birthday on Friday, which made me 47, and I got some very unique gifts, mostly because I asked for them. But one of them is I've decided to write in green. So I have a fountain pen, so this is green ink. So you can tell afterwards whether it made it any specialer for me to write in green ink. But it reminded me that I encountered the Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old. So for 40 years, I have had a connection and have journeyed with the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to just explain a little bit of that from my personal point of view. And then we're going to talk and discuss and gather around tables and just share our own stories of what we understand or what we know or what we don't know of the Holy Spirit. Because to begin with, it was just a fascination with the Spirit's power. We had visiting speakers coming to our house and staying with us where we were, and they were conducting meetings. And at these meetings, people would fall down. And as far as I was concerned, this was pretty weird. And for a seven-year-old, I wanted to go to the meetings and see people fall down. And I was standing on the front row, looking at these people, moving them out of the way as they're crashing down. And it was Trevor Deering, I think, or someone similar. And it was amazing. And I thought, oh, I want something of that, something of that. That there is something of God in that. And you know, the next step is you kind of think, I want the gift of tongues. I want to be able to speak in tongues. But you know, looking to the Holy Spirit for gifts is a very small part of his work. And for me, it was a very childlike thing. I want that. I'd like that gift. My grandfather, he would always give us a pound. When a pound was worth something, you know. He had a little dispenser, and he would dispense pounds to us. And you knew that if you connected with him, you get a pound. And so that was your motivation as a kid. I'm going to see Grandpa, I'm going to get a pound. As I grew in my understanding of who he was, it was more important for me to be spending time with him and having him in my life than getting a pound. Now, pound was still useful. And there was a time, you know, I knew we were on our honeymoon and we were running out of money, I think, probably. Another poor planning on my part. Sounds terrible, actually, when I say it. And I thought, I know what, we'll go and visit Granny and Grandpa. they'll want to see us, but more importantly, they'll give us something, because, you know, and they did, you know, sure enough. The Bible is absolutely full of the Holy Spirit. And the difficulty I have is that I've never been without the Holy Spirit in my entire life. So I can't say, like many people, this was my experience before encountering and the Holy Spirit, and this was afterwards. It is just, I couldn't imagine not the Holy Spirit not being part of my life. And when you read the Bible, there isn't any part in the Bible where the Holy Spirit isn't present. It's not Acts 1 where the Holy Spirit turns up. It's Genesis 1, verse 2. The Spirit was hovering over the waters. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is there to bring life and to bring creative force to anything that is dead at all times. And in the same way as the Spirit raised Christ Jesus from the dead, when we encounter the Holy Spirit, that powerful recreating work starts in our lives, and what seemingly dead starts to get life into it. Some of the people who encountered the Spirit in the Old Testament, I was running through them. You've got when they're making the temple, the creative, all the craftsmen, and one particular, Bezalel. God said, I've filled you with my Holy Spirit, and he will know exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And by the way, I've given that to all the craftsmen as well. So anything creative, if you are a creative individual, it's the Holy Spirit. It's flowing. I don't believe creativity and the ability to think and act creatively comes from anywhere else but the kingdom of God via the Holy Spirit. And so when I was making furniture and needed designs and needed understanding, it was the Holy Spirit I was crying out for. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is practical. And the Holy Spirit was the voice and the person in the workshop who was saying, don't be stupid. Measure that again. Don't cut that. And I would quite often have arguments with him. You know, no, I know what I'm doing. And then I'd measure it again. Okay, no, I don't know what I'm doing. That is the life of walking with the Holy Spirit. It's not, like Pete said, it's the same as the Father. It's not an occasional visit. It is the Holy Spirit walking side by side along with us as we journey into the unknown. You know, Campbell and I were we didn't really have a huge plan for Iceland. We just went there and figured it out as we went. And we were just traveling together, side by side, going, well, we'll figure it out as we go. And sometimes he had good ideas, and sometimes I had good ideas. Sometimes I was reading the map and knew where I was going, and other times, you know, so that's the journey of and the walk with the Holy Spirit. If you go into Judges in the Bible, you see Gideon, Japheth, Samson. You know, the reason that Samson, that people couldn't understand where his power came from, was not because he was a big bloke. He didn't look like Arnie. Otherwise, they wouldn't have worried about that. He looked like, you know, George Formby, probably. Yeah, you know. And so, otherwise, they wouldn't have been going, where is his power coming from? But it says every single time, the Spirit of God came on him. The Spirit of God came on him. And that's what gave him that supernatural power, that ability, that resource, that inner strength to do what God had asked him to do. And even Saul, the King Saul, you know, it says the Spirit came on him and he prophesied. The problem with the Old Testament was the Spirit came on people, but it very rarely stayed with them. It was a visitation. But it was the heart of God to say, you were designed to live with a connection with my Spirit. We've lost the fact that we are designed to live with a connection with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit perpetually. And coming to church, making a connection, and disappearing on a Monday is not the plan. The plan is we live with the Holy Spirit every single moment of the day. And I love that fact, that as you tune in and as you learn to walk in step with the Spirit, that his voice is there perpetually. You've forgotten your wallet. Yes, take a coat. You need to think about that. Now, you can say to yourself, oh, well, you know, that was me remembering it, but I don't believe that I'm that good. In fact, I know I'm not that good. What I know is that the Holy Spirit knows what I need on all occasions. And I've ceased in my journey with him to stop arguing about it and just do what he says. And what I find is that there's always a reason why I needed what I didn't think I needed when he told me it. And that is available to us all. In Matthew, it says, you hear John talking at the beginning. He says, I'm baptizing you in water, but one is going to come who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's where we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. He was led by the Spirit. He was baptized in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. You will receive power. I like this. Power. Dunamis. Where we get the word dynamite from. There's a cycling top. It's actually a base layer. And it says, we are powered by dynamite. And it was a quote from like 1920 cyclists who were basically drugged up to the eyeballs. Nothing changes. But basically they were like, how are you doing this? When they were asked about the Tour de France, and they said, they were cycling just miles and miles. And this guy says, well, we're powered by dynamite. And I want to get that if it wasn't so expensive. You know, we are powered by dynamite. How are you doing that? How are you doing what you are doing? If you see the beginning of Acts, you turn to Acts 1, when the day of Pentecost, it says people were utterly amazed. It says when they heard people speaking in different languages, there was bewilderment. They were utterly amazed. They were amazed and perplexed. That is what people should be saying when they look at our lives. And I hope that is the understanding of what it is to walk in the Spirit. I love even our services here today. We don't get together and have meetings about who's going to do what and how and when and why, because the Holy Spirit is there to do that job. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to Kate and telling her what to get prepared. The Holy Spirit is speaking to Claire. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And then when we weave those things together, you go, well, that was a great service. It almost seemed like it was planned. It was planned by the Holy Spirit, because we follow and we walk in his steps. And that's what I have learned. I like, as I say, dynamite. I've never made dynamite. I almost made nitroglycerine one time, because that's not that difficult. The kids aren't here, so I can say anything I like, you know. Normally I have to kind of, you know, sort of pretend that I'm sensible. I've made a lot of gunpowder for varying results. Again, very easy to get a hold of. Nowadays, the problem is if you start buying ingredients for this, you're going to get arrested, aren't you? You're going to basically, Henley Park's going to be cornered off with a SWAT team, and the FBI and everyone else is going to be there, which is quite disappointing. But I love explosions. And probably my most famous explosion was with my brother, Craig. And we decided we were making gunpowder, and we were disappointed with the results. It was so mixed, mainly because none of us had any accuracy in our weighing or any of the ingredients. So it was hit and miss. Sometimes it was fantastic, other times it would just smolder, and it was nonsense. If you could get to France, you could get yourself some bangers and load yourself up, and you know that was brilliant. You could explode loads of things with that. Anyway. Then we thought, well, we need to move up a peg. So we went to Weed Killer and Sugar, the bomb maker's choice. Only problem is it's unstable from the moment that you put it into a sealed container, which we did, and then put it in our bedroom, stored under the bed for a suitable amount of time. This was the same bedroom where we made some of that stuff. You know those things you throw on the ground and they go snap? We made the stuff that goes in those, but it was drying on a tray and it fell onto the ground. And when Dad came in to give the morning cup of tea, it was going off on his. I mean, I have told my parents never write a book on parenting. The amount of opportunities they had to put us on the straight and narrow, and yet didn't put two and two together and think there's a bomb making squad in this house. So. We decided fire extinguisher in the bit inside. We've packed it with stuff. We've got it at the end of the garden. We've got it propped up with bricks. We've got a fuse on it. I'm the fuse lighter. That's what younger brothers do. So I'm sent down to light the fuse. It doesn't go off. I come back. I'm sent down. When this thing went off, we were peering from behind a shed, literally about the length of this room away. When it went off, it was loud. It was on two bricks, and then two more bricks on either side, and two bricks on top. When we got back, there were no bricks. There was nothing. There was no bomb. It was just a smoldering crater in the ground. But it was fantastic. we have a recording of it because there was a service going on about a while away, and you can hear the preaching, and then you can hear this. And actually, you can almost hear Mum and Dad going, "Craig," which is what they were thinking, and quickly left because the police arrived. It had been heard a mile and a half away. The guy who owned all the horses came down and said, "What was that?" I think it was a shotgun. "That wasn't a shotgun." We, as you know, finely tuned black operatives, you know, black ops, you know, we decided the best way to cover our tracks was just to go to bed. It was 7 o'clock. "Well, we'll pretend we're sleepy." I mean, that's guilt written all over it, isn't there? It was brilliant. And I just, yeah, of course we could have been blown up, we could have been killed, we could have killed everyone. You know, it could have been a disaster, but it wasn't. There's going to be some shredded angels in heaven that, you know, have taken the fall for us. But it was powerful, and it was dynamic, and it just kind of gave you, wow. And something of the Holy Spirit I want you to catch today is not just an ethereal presence that doesn't really do very much and you don't understand. It is the power of God. And he is powerful. And he enacts God's, what God wants, with power. And I was so used to the Holy Spirit. I went to a little Anglican church when I went to college and got friendly with the curate or something, and he said, "How can we get evangelism? How can we get people to be more passionate about evangelism?" And I naively just said, "Well, just get them filled with the Spirit." And I had no idea that someone wouldn't think that this was a good idea. And he went on to tell me that the Holy Spirit was only there so that when you read the Bible, you could figure out what it meant. And I thought, is it? Oh. I was baffled at how limited that person's expectation. I said, "Well, as far as I can see, the disciples got filled with the Spirit. They were huddling in an upper room, and then they went out and preached the gospel with boldness. So that's my solution, and that still is my solution. You know, we've had a week of prayer, we've been together, and now, you know, it's Pentecost. And my heart for you guys is, let's get filled afresh with a greater understanding and comprehension of how deep and how much is available to be walking in the way of the Spirit. The Spirit strengthens and encourages. Some of us are thinking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we want to prophesy, we want to do miracles, we want to do stuff, and it's a bit like I said with my grandfather. But actually, what about the fruit of the Spirit? If the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, if your life is lacking any of those things, surely that's what you want. I mean, I love speaking in tongues, and it's a gift that I think is fantastic. But actually, I want to see that love is, my journey with the Holy Spirit brings me into more, being a more loving person, into loving in all situations, to having joy unending and unceasing and peace. Keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. So, it says of Paul, he had the road to Damascus experience, and then he went and he got prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again in the natural. But I know for some of us, we think we've got the Holy Spirit figured out. Well, I don't have the Holy Spirit figured out, but I know I want more. And you can say, "Well, I don't want any of that crazy stuff and out of control stuff." My journey with the Holy Spirit, I went to a John Wimber meeting, you know? Anyone been to a John Wimber meeting? Anyone actually saw a John Wimber meeting? Yeah. I mean, the problem is that there's a generation who've never seen some of that stuff. I didn't know who John Wimber was. I didn't know what he looked like. And so this guy came out and played the piano, and I was teasing the person next to me. I said, that guy looks like Kenny Rogers or Kenny, you know. I said, who's that dude on the piano? Then he got up and started preaching, and it was in, I think it was in Wembley Arena or something crazy. And then he just, casually as anything, I think, you know, his thing was just, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. And the place went berserk. I mean, God just fell, and without anyone laying hands on anyone else, things happen. Now, everyone wants to talk about the person who was barking like a dog or running around uncontrollably, because that's the thing they don't understand. But God was moving in people's lives. You take the Toronto blessing where in Toronto. Now, you can say what you like about it, but when Heidi Baker was impacted by the Holy Spirit, she goes to Mozambique and is changing a nation. From just falling down and being on the ground and being connected with the Holy Spirit. When Randy Clark, who was here in Bristol the other day, was anointed and fell down in the Holy Spirit, it changed his life forever. And, you know, some of me says, I want more of that. I don't understand it, and I don't choose to necessarily understand it. But it doesn't matter whether you're crying or laughing or not sure what's happening. You are encountering the power of the Holy Spirit that is beyond your imagination or understanding. And if we've limited it just to, well, I want to be able to do this, and what I really want is kind of turbo Christianity that I control and I press the button. You know, one of the tweets this week was, we're praying for his kingdom to come. For his kingdom to come, our kingdom has to end. And the problem with the Holy Spirit is you've got to decide that you're not going to be in control. And for some of us, that's really difficult. Now, he's not going to make. My experience of the Holy Spirit is that he's never embarrassed me. And he's never made me look stupid. Rather, he's made me look a lot better than I am. He's doing it at the moment. Because when I get up in the morning and write down a fairly incoherent list of things, that doesn't mean anything to anyone, even me. But I know that I'm walking up here with the Holy Spirit. And he can say what you need to hear in the way that you want to say it, just like he did at Pentecost. And every situation I walk into, he gives me the words to say in the right way if I choose to partner with him and to walk in step with him and to involve him in every moment of the day. And I can't commend his presence more highly. And not just here, but every moment of every day. And it is a relationship that has to start and has to continue and has to develop. The same Spirit, in Romans 8, it says the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will bring life to your mortal body. You know, I pray that for myself and for others who are sick and for every part of it. I want the Holy Spirit coursing in me so much that it's supernaturally empowering and bringing life to every dead part, causing that which is dead to live. And it's been amazing. I count it a privilege to have known and had and experienced and journeyed with the Holy Spirit for as long as I have. But I also don't want to get complacent, and I want to keep that relationship alive and refreshed and renewed. And